This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, everybody get ready. It's 9 minutes after seven. It's time for Justice Malala to give us the burning platform. The second last one of the year, Justice. Here we are. It's the last. It's today's the last one. All right. I never know because you and Flax keep changing your minds. Justice, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Yesterday, watching Parliament.
Were you entertained?
No, I'm just outraged, you know. I mean, guys, can we just agree on something here?
Okay.
You look at the quality of people in this country. The quality of people in this country.
Well, the ones, but what quality? Because we actually have lots of quality people.
We have so many quality people. And you look at the parade of leadership that has been making its way through Parliament. I mean, every time I watch, I want to cringe. I turn the TV off just to be by myself, to just stop hyperventilating. Why is Faith Mutambi in that job? Exactly.
She doesn't even know.
How can she be in that? It's amazing. And then the chairman of the SABC, I don't know. He knows nothing. He sees nothing. He hears nothing. It's
well, the last two are because he really can't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is a disgrace to everything and everyone, let alone disabled people. I mean, this guy.
I know plenty of disabled people who do amazing work,
incredible work.
And they never make an excuse.
No.
They never ask for something in Braille 6 months after they meant to have read it in the first place.
It's just this week has been for me, it's just been like, what exactly are we doing here? When the worst of the worst are in leadership positions, how did they get there? I'm not even going to Saudi, just those two. The chair of the board just doesn't know anything. The minister.
Because let's be fair, Saudi just stepped into a power vacuum.
It's a power vacuum, a responsibility vacuum, a vacuum of everything.
And Claudie's all ego, but his ego assumed he could take that power vacuum and turn it into something. And let's be fair, when he wanted something done, he got it done. At very least, you can call him driven.
Look, he's a go-getter. The stuff that he gets, unfortunately, is for himself. I mean, how could the chair of the board not know that someone on his watch, the board chair, the guy gets anything between 11 and 33 million in bonuses. The board chair doesn't know. What is this guy doing in this job? Ben, I'm going to give you $1 million. No, I'm going to give you 11 million.
Okay, sounds good.
Exactly. I mean, I can't.
Shame, Justice.
Justice, you can't.
Please take a big deep breath. It's the end of the year.
I can't. I just can't.
All right, but here's the thing that really bothered me, and I need your thoughts on this. So Faith Mutambi says in Parliament yesterday she didn't know this, she didn't know that, she was unaware of this. It was never brought to her attention that X, Y, Z. You've got to ask, like, so what is she doing with her time? Where is she spending her time? Digital migration has not happened on her watch. The SABC has collapsed on her watch. It seems to me that every part of her portfolio, if you had to break it down, there is absolutely no accountability on any single part of her portfolio. So why are we paying Faith Mutambi to be our Minister of Communications when she can't even communicate with her underlings or have them communicate back to her? She doesn't know the first thing. She may as well have been in that place where Cat's petrol station is without telephone lines.
This is the thing. She is the shareholder. She's the shareholder representative. So she's supposed to stand up for you and for me. She represents us on the SABC. This person has not bothered to know anything. Essentially, it's just been a looting scheme to fund, as Vuyomvoko and others have said at the inquiry, to fund the Gupta family. That's what it's been. So you list all the things that have not happened. One thing has happened. And it's that the SABC continues to essentially put up infrastructure, R500,000 worth of broadcast, so that the New Age briefings can continue. And every minister who can't do their job pitches up at those.
And they're also funded by Eskom, who sponsored them.
Exactly.
Which is Brian Molefe, who clearly also didn't like certain journalists and asked for them to be fired. I mean, it's all so nefarious. It's like it's run worse than any other business I've ever heard of.
Well, I mean, anyway, let's look on the bright side. You've said that she hasn't succeeded in this and so forth and so forth. The New Age breakfasts are certainly, as she said, very successful. Successful because the Guptas are making are creaming it from that.
The SABC pays all the costs and they take all the profits.
Exactly. So let's not be negative here.
Sure.
Someone is making good cash out of this, and it's not the taxpayer. It's not the SABC.
How do you think Atul got to number 7 on the list?
Exactly. So, you know, we might, as we watch these things yesterday and say what's going on here and so forth, we mustn't forget the link. What is state capture? Let's not forget that state capture, as we see it unfolding in South Africa, is when you essentially, a political player and a private sector player, get together and say, I will tell you the stuff that I want so that I can make money, and you push it towards me so that I make money and I'll give you something
around the side.
And what we've seen here is essentially a state entity, the SABC, being pushed into a situation where it's carrying all this non-content, if you will, called the breakfast briefings. And who makes the cash? It's the Gupta family. Who are the Gupta family's friends? President Jacob Zuma's friends. Why are some media reporting today that Duduzani Zuma flew into Lanseria 5 times in the past few months in a Gupta jet? Well, it's all linked. It's all linked. So you go to Eskom, as you said, you go to SAA, you go to SABC. All these state enterprises no longer exist to give you service. They exist so that they can give money to the Gupta family. It's incredible. It's shocking that after all that, after what we know, it's still going on. And what's happening at the SABC is essentially more of the same. And that's why the Gupta family could arrive with a three-page document saying, we now want to take over the running of the SABC.
Yeah, how's that? Talk about balls. They came in 3 pages and said, here's how we will do a better job than the SABC at providing content for the SABC and be paid handsomely for it by the SABC.
Exactly. I mean, you've got to love it. You know, Mabale,
we mustn't make
a 4-page document and go to the SABC.
They'll chase you out of the building. Now, Justice, we mustn't hate the agents of this because they really are just henchmen. They are just minions. They're just doing the president's bidding here. Faith Mutambi, you said, I remember clearly last week, that when you heard about what Prof. Maguve and the rest of them were doing, you said you think that Minister Mutambi is egging them on.
I don't think any of these people are acting without consultation. I think that whole walkout was orchestrated by Faith Mutambi, by Saudi Mutsweneng, and they know that there will be no consequence. The fact of the matter is that anywhere else in the world where any kind of merit exists, Faith Mutambi would not be in her job.
Yeah.
But because she's protecting the interests, as she did yesterday in her submissions at the inquiry, where she says, no, this relationship with the New Age is all fine and well. So long as she sings that tune, which protects the financial interests of the Gupta family, therefore of Duduzani Zuma, therefore of Jacob Zuma, she will continue to be in that job. Believe me, end of next year, we're going to sit here on the 16th, the 15th, and be talking about this. And I tell you now, she will still be in cabinet if Jacob Zuma is still president. No doubt about it. Because she's doing the job that she's supposed to
do. What would Faith Mutambi be doing if she weren't Jacob Zuma's puppet? Like, what kind of work would she expect to...
Well,
what's the highest that she could rise.
We know that she was fired from her job as a municipal manager, I think, somewhere in Limpopo. And that was the end of her political career until she was plucked out of nowhere by President Zuma and made communications minister. She doesn't know what communicating is. She doesn't know what she's doing. That is why the communications ministry and department have essentially been stuck since she became minister.
Isn't this a really nasty kind of patronizing as well? I mean, really what you're doing is you're taking a woman who's ill-equipped for the job and you're really treating her like a placeholder, and in effect you're wiping out her own agency and her own dignity because she's just out of her depth. It's not right for us to all attack her as being an incompetent and useless human and break her down when in effect the person who put her in that position should be to blame because that person should know better. Faith maybe doesn't know better. Or am I being simplistic?
No. You have a point. But the other point is that Faith should know to say, you know what? I'm not equipped for this. Thank you so much, Mr. President. People seem to think that if I say, hey, Gareth, come through now and do this jobby for me, that, oh, no, justice has called me. I must do it. Even though I don't know what a monkey wrenches or whatever, come and fix my engine. Yes, I'm here, I'll do it. And you know nothing about engines. I don't know if you do. Mm. But, you know, so people start thinking, no, the president has called me, I must say yes. People say no to positions all the time because, you know what, I'm not up to it. No, I don't want the stress of this. No, I don't want. You must make decisions. But here's the thing. I agree with you that we mustn't be too harsh on Faith. Look at Des van Rooyen. Des van Rooyen, this week, last year, didn't know what he was going to do at Treasury. The Gupta family, via Trillion Capital, had given him lists of this is what, when you get in, this is what you do. These are the documents we need. These are the things that you must do so that we can start looting, essentially. It's all in the Sunday Times. It's all there. So there are some portfolios in cabinet now, which we know have nothing to do with this country, this state. It's all about, you know what? You're going to push money this way and make some people rich. The people who are in those jobs have no shame whatsoever because they're sitting there, and I'm telling you, they're just doing it to protect Ubaba and so forth.
And to be fair, for them, it's the best payday they're ever going to have because they themselves are not competent to ever rise any higher than that.
And they are shell-shocked that they have made it into these positions.
Yeah, they pinch themselves every morning, can't believe how lucky they are.
I can't believe this. And so part of the danger of that is the, how shall I say, it's the desperation that comes with knowing that this is unsustainable. In 6 months or in a month or in a year, I will be out. No matter what happens, I will be out. And so in that short period, I've got to steal as much as possible and pass the cash on to other people. And this is the problem with this country because essentially you have people who've got their heads down and are just looting and looting and looting. Because, as you rightly say, they will never have a job. When they are 60, they will not have a job. When they are 50, they won't have a job. So they have to do this and just keep going. And that's why these desperate people are the worst. They are Baba's biggest protectors. Think about Colin Maine. What is he going to do when the ANC is out of power in the Northwest and the EFF is running that province? He has no talent. He has no skills. All he has done over the past year is to get the house, 5.4 million rand house in Pretoria via the Gupta's bank, the Bank of India, I think. Yeah. And basically just protect them wherever he goes. He talks about, black business must be protected. Oops, no, really.
And really, this is the worst kind of thing because this is using a proper societal issue, something which we should be paying attention to, the fact that so many black people in this country are not empowered, do not have positions, are kept in lower levels of every corporation, even if they have merit, even if they show excellence. There are these real things, and then there are these people who create this illusion of that being their main agenda, when in effect what they're really doing is they're slapping the faces of those black people who they say that they're representing and paying them no attention in order to curry favor with an elite that continues to use them as slave labor.
Exactly. It's hijacking. It's the most cynical hijacking of a real issue. It's like me standing up and saying, I'm for the people, I'm for this, and while I'm just looting on the... This is exactly what happened with... The idea... Let me tell you. So, 2 weeks ago, Brian Molefe stands up at one of these... New Age breakfast and says, starts off by quoting Frantz Fanon, then quotes Ngugi wa Thiong'o, quotes da da da. Now, when I was 21,
Sankara.
And Sankara, every, you know, if you want to be radical and so forth, you just cut and paste those, pop them in a speech, and you've made your credentials. So he goes and does that. What does that have to do with the fact that he gave the Guptas 500-600 million to essentially gave them money to buy a mine so that they could make huge amounts of cash of it? Where exactly is this about the black poor? Is this about
all these awards that Kebi Mapatswe wants to hand to everybody for being such great caterers?
Exactly.
And for helping transform society. All these people have done is transform their own bank balances. They have done nothing for ordinary South Africans. They don't give a damn about ordinary South Africans. They're the most cynical elitists you could possibly imagine.
Absolutely.
If they were white people, it would be easy to call them what they are.
Well, I mean, we should call them anyway, because this is about the poor. I want to talk about this issue of the SABC 8.
You're a journalist. Tell me how this must feel.
This is the worst thing possible. These people, there is a woman at the SABC, one of these journalists called the SABC 8. She doesn't live at home. Her car has been broken into several times. Her house has been broken into several times. She's received weird phone calls saying this will be done to you, and
blood
so
will
forth.
Flow.
Blood will flow. This week, after the testimony of those four journalists, Vuyo Mvoko received phone calls threatening him for testifying and so forth and so forth. For me, one of the worst things is when Maguve, the chair of the board, has not over the past year jumped up and down and said, people who work for my organization are being threatened, are living in fear. And he says, oh, I heard about it on the radio, on the news, and and he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. These are journalists who report for me and for you, for all of us, what's happening in this country on all issues. And this person, the head of the organization, has not felt that it's... The story of this Sunafenta, it was on the front page of the Sunday Times. It's been reported on, written about again and again. And the man didn't do anything. He should be in jail. He should be in jail. These people don't understand what a democracy is or what communication, being the head of a communications organization is. Imagine if Ben was being threatened. All of us would be jumping up and down. I'm apoplectic about this. I can't believe that this guy is actually still in a job. What does it say about this country when someone whose employees are being threatened, are not living at home? What must it be like to not live in your house because you're scared when you get phone calls, when your house is not burgled once and nothing stolen but things turned over, but twice? I mean, it's incredible. Gunshots outside the house, all these sorts of things. It's a disgrace.
That's just an awful way to live.
It's an awful, awful way to live. And we've got to start asking the question, who benefits when these journalists are being threatened like this? clearly it's the people who want to stay in power. It's the people who've been appearing this week. It's Faith Mutambi, it's Claudia Motsoeneng, it's Maguve and Don. That is why they have done nothing about it. If there's anything that damns them, it's the fact that these journalists are living in so much fear. It's incredible. Imagine if all of us started living like this, being threatened, being...
That's the security state that we might have if we don't stand up for ourselves. You know, this is what authoritarianism is all about.
Yeah,
it's bullying and cajoling people into doing what you want when they become uppity and start demanding human rights and such unnecessary things.
Now, I have to tell you, this whole week has, for me, underlined some of the rot that we've learned to live with in this country. The fact that the leadership is so mediocre. I mean, I can't believe that these two, Maguve and Mutambi, are actually at the top of a communications organization. It's just, it boggles the mind. But what they have not done, what they have failed to do at the SABC, just shows you we're so tolerant of mediocrity. Really.
But are we complacent as a nation? Is it our fault, or is it that we are so used to being abused because of the history of this country, and we're so used to people in authority doing what they just telling us what to do, and we must just go with it? We're in a way we are subjects rather than citizens, and we sometimes view the people in authority as having an automatic power and respect which they're due without having merit to prove that they deserve it. And maybe we are still slaves, but we've just changed masters.
I think there are elements of what the history is and so forth, but I think one of the things is example that we've been on a very long journey, and we have a very long and tough journey ahead. And so consequence, I worry that there are no consequences for anything that
well, you just said it. Faith Mutambi will still be there in a year if President Zuma is still the president.
And so if I am Claudia Motsoeneng at the SABC working away in accounts or in editorial or whatever, I think, if she's getting away with it, then I can get away with it. Mm. And so we need consequence at the very top. Because right now, what I'm seeing with, if Faith Mutambi is going nowhere, why should Claudia Motsoeneng go anywhere, really? Because dereliction of duty is just runs throughout the organization. And I think this is a problem.
All right, now everybody's very excited about this portfolio committee and how well they've done interrogating these ministers and CEOs and chair people and all the rest of it. And everybody's excited about them, and they seem to be people of, they're upstanding citizens, and they're doing what Parliament's there to do. They're exercising their legislative authority as a branch of government. But where have they been up to now?
This is a big question, because how many times on this show in just the past year and a half have we spoken about the SABC? Why has it taken so long for them to wake up and smell the coffee about what's happening at the SABC? I think they've been great. Everyone from the chair, is it Vincent Smith, to Makosi Khoza, The DA, to their credit, has been jumping up and down about this for a long time. But, you know, it's fantastic to be on TV grilling the minister, grilling all these people. But where were they when really things have just been getting worse by the day at the SABC? If you'd gone to the same motions in 2013... Just in 2013, you'd have seen the SABC was absolutely rotten even then. Go back 5 years, even then. So instead of fixing the problems, they just stood there. When did Hope Zinder, who's now passed away, when did she tell us that, you know, Ubaba loves Saudi so much is what she had. But they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything. So these committees, it's great that they found a backbone lying around somewhere and picked it up. But my word, where have all these people been? Because the rot has been around for a long, long time.
Don't you think it was a case of them considering their options at the time?
But isn't this what's wrong with the system? That people who are in office, who have taken an oath that I will fight for the men and women in the street, sat there saying, it's not going well with this SABC, with this board and so forth. They didn't do anything. They kept on thinking, Let me tell you one of the things, being cynical. I don't always want to be, but I'm thinking, the ANC goes to its conference in December next year. So Cyril Ramaphosa says, I would be humbled to become, to be asked to be president of South Africa. What if by a small chance he actually wins and becomes president of South Africa? So the tide will have changed completely in the ANC. And so those who've all along been saying, Ubaba must be allowed to lead and Ubaba must, appoint incompetence like Faith and it's okay, it's his prerogative. Suddenly they're beginning to grow a backbone and say, no, we're going to stand up against this. So I think actually, I'm sorry to say, it's great that all these MPs are jumping up and down. But you know what? If that is the game they're going to play, it means that when Cyril Ramaphosa becomes president, if he becomes president, they're going for 4 years of his tenure. It will be, Cyril, you're so amazing, you're so beautiful.
They're sycophants.
They're sycophants. They find a backbone when the power shifts.
They find a nipple to suck on and they move on.
Yeah. And this, if there is anything to learn from this, if these same MPs are going to be walking around behaving the way they behaved in the past, then we're going nowhere.
There's no change. So in other words, the whole thing is really very, very rotten.
The whole thing is all about what's happening inside the ANC, and those are the factions.
I wanted to ask you about this, and I don't know whether you've read it or not, but Nomboni Sogasa wrote a scathing article about Karima Brown and basically said, you know what? Karima Brown has also suddenly found a backbone. Mm. She suddenly discovered that she's got to stand up against the president and all these terrible people who the president has appointed. Mm. But she herself was one of his biggest supporters for the longest time. And she says, no, you can't now claim that you are on the right side of things when you were part of the problem. You were defending him at every turn.
Yeah. What is your question, Kevin?
Well, I just want to know, is this not the same thing as someone like Cyril, who, if Cyril does become, by some tiny margin of possibility, if he becomes president, he's been part of the administration that has got us into this mess.
And he's laughed and danced along all this time. When so many times people have said, but look at the rot in this thing. And I think a lot of people are going to have to, the question that Nomboni Sogasa is asking is just account for yourself. Don't take us for fools and think that we'll just all go on and laugh along. Account for yourself. Thabo Mbeki is made to account and asked to account for Zimbabwe for HIV/AIDS.
Right.
Why are all these other people not asked to account for the fact that they aided and abetted Jacob Zuma and kept him in power for so long? How many articles have you seen written by Mondli Makanya, all these other people saying, the emperor's naked, what's going on here? And you know what? For their troubles, all those people have been called names and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, all these Latter-day Saints who now revel in beating up on Jacob Zuma, for a long time they aided and abetted him.
It's almost better to be a Jimmy Manyi or a Colin Maine, because at least you've stuck to your job description.
Exactly. But particularly those who bullied a lot of people into silence, because it was, if you're not on the side of Jacob Zuma, if you don't stand up for yourself, then you're not going to get this or that. I mean, it's worth noting how many people didn't or did get jobs at organizations run by this Zuma acolytes.
Look at Ben Ngubane. He was shifted. He was at the SABC.
Where the rot was.
He was moved to Eskom.
Where the rot is.
You have people like Transnet sponsoring New Age Breakfast. It's all so nefarious. It's like a family business.
This
country is a family business.
It's a stitch up. So I think, you know, the SABC gives us so many chances to look at the totality of what we're doing in South Africa and ask some questions. Who are these people? Why are they in power? Why are they doing the things that they do? Because the money flows straight to number one, and why have we been so quiet? Why is it an institution that keeps our democracy alive, the SABC, has been allowed to get so rotten? You and I have spoken about this before here. There are people in Marapyane, there are people in all kinds of places all over this country who don't have any other medium to listen to. Well, you know, if the minister could get it together to get some broadband going in those areas, they'd listen to Cliff Central and Touch Central.
I don't think I'm being insulting in this. I joked once when someone said to me, you know, why don't you ask the minister to get involved in it? I don't know if she knows how to download an app. I've got to be honest. Judging by how little she knows about the businesses she's meant to be in charge of, I very much doubt she looks outside of that at anything else.
You know, I mean, what for me, the saddest thing is this.
I mean, Donald Trump yesterday had a meeting. I don't know if you saw. He invited Google, Facebook, Elon Musk, all these Silicon Valley people who were very much against him in the election. He invited them all to an advisory discussion about how technology businesses should be run under his administration.
Yeah.
Now, you can call Donald Trump a lot of things, and I have. But the fact is, if you are prepared to listen to the experts in a field, and if you're prepared to learn, and you're prepared to improve your own knowledge on something, there can only be success as a result of that.
Exactly. The thing to remember about South Africa is that we should be leading on these issues on this continent at the very least. And you go to Kenya and we look like rank amateurs. We failed on the infrastructure. We failed on the education. And we failed on access.
And the minute brilliant people, to again draw this comparison with the you know what Trump did yesterday with these technology people, if the president called in people like Sim Tshabalala and, you know, former public protector, Thuli Madonsela, and other exemplary people in South African society, and said to them, guys, how do we fix this problem?
Yeah.
We would all be thrilled. Instead, they label those people agents of white monopoly capital, or they label them CIA agents or agents of Western democracy. They immediately remove those people's agency, which to me indicates a very deep-seated kind of self-loathing almost.
There is a
in South Africa, you know, for
that,
all of us, we all have this problem.
But it also, it's just people using these words, empty phrases to defend the indefensible, quite frankly.
No. Why have you not got an award from Kebi Mapatswe? Aren't you annoyed?
One last thing. One of the things that
you're not even going to dignify that with a response.
No, it's just it would be an amazing and incredible thing to be called up by Kevin Mapas to receive the award. It would be just gorgeous. Anyway, one last thing, and I think it's something that. On Monday, so while this inquiry is going on Monday, I think it was the Western Cape High Court ruled that Thaudi Motsoeneng should not even be near the SABC, let alone be leading it in all these positions. And I just thought again and again, the courts seem to be making decisions on behalf of the executive. Surely the board should... Why am I even going there?
The board is one man.
Why am I even going there? But that guy should have known that this guy should not be allowed anywhere near a tap, because he is going to abuse the tap. He's going to, you know, it shouldn't be happening, but it's happening. So increasingly, everything is sent to court. Everything has to be ruled on by judges.
But this is the last burning platform of the year, so let's end on a high note. At least where the legislature, and they're only starting to really come to the fore now, and the executive fail us, at least we can say the judiciary are still doing their job.
We can say there are institutions in this country that are so, so exemplary, so beautiful in what they're doing, that you sit there and you want to weep with pride and joy that... Mm. I live in South Africa, and look at what the judiciary has done. I want to say, I mean, you know, I see guys, the Daily Maverick, others have been doing their Person of the Year and so forth. Can I just say, if there is an amazing, beautiful, incredible turnaround, it's the Chief Justice, Mogoeng Mogoeng. That beautiful judgment on the Nkandla issue, on the public protector
which
issue,
caught brought everybody by surprise.
Which caught everybody by surprise, but it was so well argued. It was so
beautifully articulated.
Beautifully articulated. It was, man, you know what? You've done good. I mean, you want to read. Guys, you know, I know many people don't like to read during the holiday. Some of us are taking a few books away. I might even print out. That's how exciting I am. I might even print out that judgment just to enjoy, because it was beautiful. The president failed to uphold his oath of office, and those judges told him where to get off. It's fantastic. What a great country. That's why the likes of Gaudi Motsoeneng, Faith Mutambi, Maguve, and others will not succeed, because those guys, those institutions, are working so nicely and so beautifully.
What a note to end it on. Thank you, Justice. Thanks for a great year of the Burning Platform. We will return in January. Have a good holiday. Are you going away?
I'm going away. I'm getting on a jet plane off to a remote island somewhere.
Nice.
Then getting on a jet plane back to South Africa to talk about Gaudi Motsoeneng in 2017. Oh my word, I'm never coming back.
Well, just to put you in a good mood, Avi from New York says, Ubaba didn't want Faith Mutambi. I heard it was George Michael who said, I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith.
Oh.
All right, thank you, Justice.
Absolutely.
The
pleasure,
Burning
guys.
Platform for 2016 is brought to you by Nando's.
This is CliffCentral.com.